Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you Thursday, January 28th, 2021. It is National Kazoo Day, and this past Sunday, or Saturday, excuse me, I traveled to Columbus, Ohio to interview the famous kazoo man, Bobby Ray. Here's that interview. Scott Spears with WWGH Radio in Columbus on a very chilly but fair January night here in 2021, and we are at the North Market because National Kazoo Day is January 28th. As you can hear in the background, one of the great street performers here in Columbus at the North Market, Bobby Ray, the kazoo man, has joined us here outside of the North Market, and we are going to have a lot of fun finding out how he got to be the kazoo man. Also, the ukulele. You hear the ukulele there in the background, and we're going to learn about ukuleles, we're going to learn about kazoos, and we're going to hear some music as this program progresses today. Bobby Ray, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, man. Thanks for coming to Columbus. I appreciate it.
Now, have you always lived in Columbus?
Yes. No, yeah, I was born right over there. Now I live over there, so I was born at the old Bryden, on Bryden Road at the old St. Anne's Hospital, so it's not, St. Anne's moved up to West Westerville since then, but that building is still there, and now it's an old folks home, so I'm going to see if I can get my old room back and die there. You know, hashtag carbon footprint.
Now, how did you get involved with the kazoo?
Oh, I murdered the old kazoo man and took his stuff. No, here's how I got involved with it. I was, it's not a funny story. I wanted to be a busker, like, since I was a kid, but I was a cab driver and learned to play the ukulele, and I had surgery on my face, on my mouth, right, inside my jaw. I had a jaw resection, and so I had very little feeling in my face, so whatever your feelings about my face, I do not share them, because I have no, and I can't play the harmonica. So I can't whistle anymore either. I used to be able to whistle, but kazoo. Oh, so I wanted to be a busker, and so but I can't play the guitar and I can't play the harmonica. So I thought kazoo and ukulele was like the funnier version of that, right? And my first idea was to be like the Naked Cowboy in New York, right? Was to be a fat guy with it. You know who that is?
I do.
Oh yeah. So this is like a stripper, like a, or he's, what is he? What is it? He's an exotic dancer. He's a bodybuilder or whatever. He's a good-looking guy. He's a very good-looking guy with a cowboy hat that stands on Times Square in his underwear and plays guitar. And I thought, oh well, that's what I could do. That I'm just a fat guy with a ukulele, and I could stand there in my underwear and play guitar. And I thought that would be a good act. And I bailed on that. Did I not have the guts to go out of my underwear? That seems unlikely. So anyway, I put together the act, and I ended up playing kazoo and uke instead of guitar and harmonica, and that seemed like a joke. And then I realized the ukulele was not loud enough to hear, like, on a busy street, even if you're standing right next to me. So I started looking for ways to make it louder without amplifying it, because once you amplify a busker, then you have a different set of rules. Not so much in Columbus, but in places like, you can't play Central Park, places in Chicago, you can't play if you're and very little restrictions for unamplified buskers. Also, the kind of music I do is not like easy listening, sit around and listen to me music. It's all cartoon music. So Oh, that's the other thing. I'm learning to play the ukulele, so the songs I learned were songs that I already knew, songs like that I heard growing up, goofy Tin Pan Alley songs from the days of the ukulele. But I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and the cartoons I watched were made in the 40s and 50s, and the music they used was made from the 20s and 30s or before that. And it was, so I started focusing on just the songs that I knew. I did all the cartoon songs. And they ended up, and so when people said, what kind of music do you play? I used to say cartoon music, except for, I don't know, a couple of years ago, I discovered a group on Facebook, but it's called Ukulele Music of the 1900s or the early 1900s, and they called it Tin Pan Alley, and I was like, oh, that sounds so much better than cartoon music. So I started focusing on that era, and then that's what I do now. So mostly, almost all of my stuff is before the most contemporary tune I play is from a cartoon, is from Toy Story. I do Randy Newman's You Got a Friend in Me, and that's 1998. So everything I do is before 1980.
Now, what is your favorite song to do?
Oh, gosh. Right now, it's always the one I just learned, right? But one of my favorite songs to do is a waltz called from 1910 or 1912. So I've been focusing more on like pre-1920s and the acoustic recordings. So, you want to hear it?
Yeah, do it.
I'm playing the wrong time signature. Come, dear, let us fly, dear, away, dear. To the sky, dear, oh, my flying machine. Jump in, Miss Josephine, ship ahoy. Oh, boy, what a feeling, there's joy. Through the ceiling, oh, high, hoopla, we fly through the sky, so high. Come, Josephine, in my flying machine, going up, she goes. Balance yourself like a bird on a beam in the air. She goes, there she goes, up, up, a little bit higher. Oh my, the moon is on fire. Come, Josephine, in my flying machine, going up, a long goodbye. Up she goes, up she goes.
Bobby Ray, the Kazoo Man here in Columbus, Ohio. Again, Kazoo Man, I don't know if we've mentioned this, maybe not again, KazooMan.com is where you want to go, but we will mention it again, and there is going to be a lot of music during this this broadcast here today. Now, I'm looking at your because now, how would you define yourself? Is it street performer?
Yeah, I call myself a busker. A street performer.
I'm not hung up on it.
Well, what's interesting?
I'm a gimmicky beggar. That's what I call myself.
Well, it's interesting because I'm looking at your collection box here, and you have PayPal. Now, this is a whole... Now, see, you would not guess this for somebody who's a busker.
Okay, so, and you would today, because now people don't want to carry cash anymore. So, and also, PayPal is free. So, I was getting a credit card going. I used to be a cab driver, right? So, I had a merchant account, and I've dealt with credit cards or on the fly. So, but I realized busking, PayPal is free. I don't need a merchant account. And I don't need to deal with credit cards, and everyone's familiar with it. And I have a QR code that people can scan. And I bet I get a tip from PayPal, I don't know, I bet a couple times a week. So mostly from young people. And sometimes it's a buck or two, really. So sometimes people want to give me $5 or $10 when they do PayPal. But sometimes it's just, it's just somebody without cash, and they come up, and young people are so good. They're like so quick on the phone with their pulling their phones out, man. My own kids are like that. So my youngest is 23, and I will constantly be saying things like, I wonder who that actor is. And he'll say, it's blah, blah, blah. And I'll say, how did you know that? He goes, I didn't. I was looking. While you were wondering, I was looking it up, dude.
They know how to use the phones.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, boom. So I see. So when my daughter insisted that I get some kind of, PayPal and web presence, and I was like, why? I'm just like I'm a hobo. Basically on the sidewalk. So it didn't make sense to me, but so I'm really glad I did, because I realized a couple of things that, like, being on the internet, now I have an Instagram. You can check me out at YuKazooMan on Instagram and at YuKazooMan on TikTok. So, check out my TikTok, because TikTok is just like busking. It's like, it's just a short little video, right? It's a minute long or 15 seconds long, so it's kind of how people experience me anyway, because when they're walking by, I don't draw a crowd. And because I do goofy music like that. So,
Not to get into dollars and cents here, not exactly, but is this enough to make a living busking?
It might be if I worked more. yes, in Columbus it barely is. So I think I make about $10 to $15 an hour. So, but which means some days I'll go out for, and for 4 hours and make $100, and some days I'll go out for 4 hours and I'll make $4. So, usually I can correct what I've done wrong to make $4, like I went to the wrong place, or I came out at the wrong time, or,
People are loving the music. What is the song that people most identify with? What would you say is the song that people know the most?
Gosh.
That you do?
Oh, that I know the most? No, because I do a bunch of really obscure songs. So,
you've got a friend in me, I think, would be a popular one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, that's right. That's popular. You want me to play that?
Go ahead.
You got a friend in me. and you. And as the years go by, our friendship will never die. You're gonna see it's our destiny. Oh, you got a friend in me. That's right. You got a friend in me. Oh, yeah.
Scott Spears here, Columbus, Ohio, with Bobby Ray, the Kazoo Man. Again, it's kazooman.com, or come to the North Market here in downtown Columbus, Ohio. And you are here usually when, Bobby Ray?
I'm here every weekend from around noonish to around five-ish.
Now, I was checking out your YouTube channel, and we are in January now, but you do holiday selections.
Oh, you do.
And there are two that are very impressive to me that I'm going to ask you to do on the show here.
Okay.
One for a particular reason. I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas was originally done by Gayla Peavy. I've interviewed Gayla Peavy.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Gayla's been on the show. So
she
even
was such a cute little girl.
So even though it is January, because it's National Kazoo Day coming up, we're going to do I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Will do. Don't want a doll, no dinky tinker toy. I want a hippopotamus to play with and enjoy. Oh, I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. I don't think Santa Claus will mind do you. You won't have to use our dirty chimney flue. Just bring him through the front door, that's the easy thing to do. I can see me now on Christmas morning. Will do. No crocodiles, no rhinoceroses. I only like hippopotamuses, and hippopotamuses like me too. Mama says a hippo will eat me up, but then teacher says a hippo is a vegetarian. And hippopotamus is like me too. Yes, hippopotamus is like me too.
Hey, Bobby Ray, the Kazoo Man, kazooman.com. Now, in the holiday theme, the other song that I'm going to ask you to do, because I would think this is a difficult one to do on the kazoo and the ukulele, is Marshmallow World. Now, how did you... Now, before you do it, how, when you hear a song and you know you want to do that on the ukulele and kazoo, how do you adapt to a song like Marshmallow World?
Oh, I don't know. Good question. I don't know. I sing. I pretend that I'm Dean Martin. And then... I act like Dean Martin would act if he was me.
Well, let's hear it, Dean.
Okay. I play this all year. It's a marshmallow world in the winter. When the snow comes, we cover the ground. It's time for play, it's a whipped cream day. I wait for it the whole year round. It's those marshmallows.
proudly and friendly in the arms of the evergreen trees. And the sun is red like a pumpkin head, shining so your nose won't freeze. The world is your snowball, see how it grows. That's how it goes whenever it snows. The world is your snowball, just for a song. Get out and roll it along. It's a yum, yummy time made for sweethearts. Take a walk with your favorite girl. It's a sugar date, so what if spring is late? In winter it's a marshmallow world, yes it is. In winter it's a marshmallow world. So what if spring is late? In winter it's a marshmallow world, yes it is. In winter it's a marshmallow world.
Bobby Ray, the Kazoo Man here. Bobby Ray, how long have you been doing this in Columbus?
So I've been busking for on the street for about almost 6 years. I think this is my fifth winter.
In winter, how hard is this? I mean, it's not too bad tonight, but I would imagine there are days when it's just awful.
So I'll go out any day that it's over 20. If the temperature is above 20, if the wind speed is below 20, and or probably 15. No, I've worked in pretty windy weather, and it's not raining. So otherwise, I will work. I've worked in the rain and I've worked in like zero weather, but no one tips me. So like there's this threshold, and I think that the line is 20 degrees, beyond which I stop being entertaining and I just become this annoying guy with a kazoo. If you're uncomfortable, I'm not very entertaining. So I apologize to everyone at home that's uncomfortable.
What is the weirdest experience you've had on the street?
Oh gosh, no, I've had so many. I got arrested once.
Oh, really?
So yeah, and so these guys, you know what it is? It's I'm First Amendment, right? So there are no laws in Columbus about busking, which means that our city attorneys have been actually very responsible, because there shouldn't be any laws about busking anywhere. But bigger cities like Chicago and New York have rules that have not been tested in the courts. But so this is one of my unfunny parts of my thing. But I went down before I even started doing this. I went to the city attorney's office and I said, I want to busk and play. And they said, oh yeah, that's good. I said, what are the rules? They said, there aren't any rules. There are no laws or anything about buskers. So I started playing, and sometimes when the cops would come, people would call the cops. So because I look like a homeless person, I guess. They can't tell. You know what? I make my money off of donations, right? Like a junkie, or like the Pope. Unfortunately, I look more like a junkie than the Pope. So that it's disturbing to people and to some people. So it's mostly restaurant managers and security guards, you know. One weekend, I think I had a special duty cop that bragged about. To the north, look, all the merchants in the North Market, they love me, but the management is still not sure of me. So I went the first year that I played here. They called the cops on me almost every weekend. And the cop would show up, and I go, no, I'm First Amendment. I'm not panhandling. Now, there are a bunch of laws about panhandling, which most of those have been deemed unconstitutional as well, but they still mostly enforce those laws. So the issue here is they told all their staff and the security guards that they own the sidewalk around the building, which they don't, and anyone that is, I mean, actually smart cops already realize that, but cops are not all of them are the equal. And this guy bragged to him. He said, oh, I can get rid of this guy, no problem. So he started just harassing me for the day, and he called a paddy wagon to come bring me a printout of the panhandling laws. And I said, I'm not a panhandler. I never ask anyone for anything. Now, I have a bucket that where it's obvious that I take donations in the bucket, which he thought that was that established panhandling. I said, no, call the city attorney. But it was on a Saturday, so the... You know, so they don't do this when you could actually just call and say, you know, and they'll say, leave me alone. So so we went around and around, and I explained the code, and he said, oh, could, you know, first it was that I'm breaking the panhandling laws, then it was like I'm too loud, which I'm not too loud. So I could tell you about the legal requirements for that, too, because I checked that out. And so, and then eventually the paddy wagon guys found an outstanding traffic ticket in Westerville that I had gotten, that I completely forgot about because I don't drive. I don't have a car, and I'm broke. So, so they arrested me for that. And they ended up arresting me for that. And then when I got out of the jail, ABC Channel 6 called me up, and Tara Morgan, a reporter, came down and interviewed me, and I'll tell you who knows about the First Amendment is reporters. And she went down, she took all of my pictures off of my media presence, which my daughter maybe gets, so she had photographs of my bucket and everything that I was doing. She took them down to the city attorney's office, and the city attorney looked at them, he goes, this picture's First Amendment, that's First Amendment, that's First Amendment, and said, you know, I'm First Amendment all the way. And I'll, so since then, I think the city sent out a memo or something, because I'm not sure, because I've had a couple of incidents since then, but it seemed like most of the cops suddenly were aware of who I was, and I also know that some guy moved into an apartment on High Street right above where I work, where I'd been working for years, and then the first thing he did, he moved in next to the arcade, and the first thing, next to an arcade with skee ball, right, that skee ball thing. So the first thing he did was file a complaint with the city for because of the noise. It's like, you moved in there, dude. You were like, you know, and then he started calling the cops on me at the same time. Never said anything to me, and he never said anything to them, but it had to be the same guy, you know. So one day he comes out with a light, and he starts shining a strobe light in my face. I'm like, dude, are you trying to give me a seizure? And he's like, I'm going to come out here every night until you're gone. I'm like, what is your problem? He lives on the third floor, 50 feet away from me, and I'm not amplified. I'm like, you mean you can barely hear me? I was like, how long have you been living here, dude? He's like, 30 years. I'm like, you've not been in that apartment for 30 years, dude. You didn't move in across from an abandoned train station because you wanted peace and quiet, you jerk. You're in the middle of the city, you know, and I told him, you're not allowed to do that. It's assault. And then he got really scared and took off, and I haven't heard from him since. So that was a weird thing, but mostly have been very well received. But I follow the rules, right? I don't panhandle. I don't harass people. I just stand there and play and be goofy.
So most people would say, and to the people who ask this, yeah, why do this? Why come down here in cold weather in a state, in a city,
oh,
where we have four seasons? Why do this?
I'll tell you what. I was a cab driver for 30 years off and on, and I was an actor. I went to school and studied theater, and I ran a theater company and a comedy troupe that traveled for a while, and my life changed, and I had kids, and then I got to surgery and got kind of physically messed up to where I could not drive a taxi anymore. I can't sit down for more than 20 or 30 minutes, and I can't stand up for more than an hour. You know, so this job, I can sit down, I can stand up. It's something I'm used to doing. I'm a hammy goofball anyway, so that none of the barriers that would stop a normal person from embarrassing themselves this way seemed to stand in the way. Plus, it was something I always wanted to do. When I was a kid, there was an old guy downtown, Old Joe. They called him Old Joe, who played a guitar downtown. And when we were kids, man, my dad would pass out. We acted like we were getting gumballs or something. He'd pass out coins so we could give them to Joe, you know. And that way I was 4 or 5 years old, so Joe's probably gone now. That was half a century ago, you know, and all these kids that smile and wave at me, some of them are going to be alive in 100 years. They're going to, and they, you remember the weirdo that you saw when you were a little kid? You, of course you do, you know. All these kids are going to still remember me, you know, like all the great memories I had when I was a kid, you know.
Now, is how do you define your, I mean, you say weirdo, you say weird guy, but you obviously are a talented man. You couldn't do this if you weren't. You couldn't learn the songs if you weren't. What do you really, how would you really describe yourself?
As a what? As a mentally ill goofball, I guess. So, yeah, that's right.
That's how you really feel.
No, I really, yeah, I kind of do. No, I do. I clearly have some mental issues. And, yeah, so I'm not just unemployed. I'm kind of unemployable. And I have good days and bad days, right? So this is a great job for me. I can sit up, I can stand up when I need to stand and sit down when I need to sit. And I can stay home when I'm on the dark days, you know? And no one can fire me. That's the main thing, is that, you know, so, yeah, that's the big deal. I can't get fired. This is it. I got nowhere to go but up.
Now, is this like a clinical depression or?
Yeah, clinical depression. I also have lifetime kind of anxiety disorder. So it's mostly anxiety disorder. So, which is funny too, because I like do something. All my jobs have been like dangerous or indoor, you know, weird. So I have no idea what my problem is. Or no, I have many ideas.
Well,
racing thoughts.
Side note to this is very interesting because so many people deal with depression. This is certainly not uncommon. Oh, when you talk about a dark day, what is that like for you? How would you describe it to people who don't have depression?
Oh, okay. So it's not really depression. My dark days are where I'm like enraged or like easy to set off and stuff. So I can easily turn. Now I'm like this nice, just goofy guy, but I could turn into the guy on the bus who's you know, who's cussing people out or something. Not randomly, but you know, but I will like, yeah, I will kind of yeah, so sometimes I'm just anxious, sometimes I, you know, yeah, sometimes I this kind of job is also because the way I interact with people is pretty superficial, so occasionally I will do something stupid, like get into an argument with a junkie or you know, follow a guy down the street because he's littering, you know, make him take his litter back. So, which, you know, is ill-advised, if not, you know, flat-out insane. But, so, you know, so I'm learning, but mostly my interactions with people are pretty, you know, are positive and superficial, and if I can't handle it, then I just leave, you know. So
what drives you to continue to work? Well, where does the drive come from?
Poverty. I'm a poor person. I don't, you know, I gotta tell you, if you have mental health problems, if you go to a mental health clinic, right, for poor people and tell them that you want to kill yourself or someone else, they will immediately help you. If you don't want to kill yourself or someone else, then they can't help you. Come back when you want to kill someone. You know, that's their answer. So there is no help. Even when I'm on Medicaid, I don't have a doctor now because my doctor dropped me because missed an appointment, I guess, or I miss some appointments, but I can't manage my life. I also have ADHD, and so I'm not managing my life very well, is what's going on. And so now I don't even have a doctor. My medications have run out. I still am on Medicaid. I just have to go get a doctor and get back on my cholesterol pills, and I should probably also be on a SSRI or something like that, or a MAO inhibitor or something. But yeah, so so I think what drives me now is that I'm poor. I don't know what else to do. You know what? I'm not qualified to do anything. Who the hell would hire me? Look at me. You know? You know? I mean, I could shave. Oh, here's the other thing. My face is all messed up, right? So I like can't even be a salesman or anything, right? When I shave this beard off, I've got a big lump on the right side of my face. You can see my teeth have been broken out, and my jaw is all... So I've had a jaw resection. They took a section out of my leg. I can't dance anymore. I used to be a dancer. I used to be a dance instructor for Fred Astaire Ballroom Dance Studios. So I maybe could do that again, but no one wants to dance with me.
Well, I think suffering from these illnesses, which many people suffer from, have you ever faced suicidal tendencies or anything?
No, that's the weird thing about me. No, I become depressed where I don't feel like doing anything, and I have fantasies about, killing other people, but not really. No, I don't think I could actually hurt someone. So I don't feel like I'm dangerous. I've never done anything dangerous, right? I've never committed a crime and things like that. Also, I've been like violently attacked and robbed and things like that, and I was able to keep my head and manage that. So clearly it's not, I'm not a lunatic, but if I thought I was dangerous, I probably wouldn't do it, All right, well, I think if I had evidence that I was dangerous, I probably wouldn't do it. But I don't see any evidence of that. I don't think I'm dangerous. But it is one of the reasons that I choose to do the music that I do. Like, I don't just do 10 Pan Alley music, and I don't just do cartoon music. I do upbeat, happy songs that are happy. None of my songs are sad. Like, a lot of buskers do sad songs, and other people who make money off of the street, like panhandlers, they make their living off of bumming people out, and making the sidewalk experience, sad. And it was a time when I started playing on High Street across from the convention center. You couldn't walk across the street and get a burger without six people trying, telling you their hard luck story or just being sad, with your kids, right? And it was like, that's the way we welcome people into our city, So that seemed like when I set up there, some people freaked out about it and wanted to get me out of there, but almost immediately all of the businesses realized that, for one, junkies don't make a very good living when I'm around, because when you're walking down the street, there's one guy there to bum you out and beg for money, and there's another guy just being goofy and minding his own business. The junkies realize right away that this is not they need to move to another block, because it's not as lucrative. Now some don't. I know when I become friends with these street people, so they realize, I have a different set of clientele. He's not taking the money that I'm getting.
You say you've been attacked. How bad has it been?
Not too bad. I mean, I had guys swipe the bucket a couple of times, and mostly it's shakedown type of stuff. I had a guy swinging at me once, but I think he was not. I think he was sort of out of it. And I didn't get hurt. So. I got beat up worse driving a cab, so I got mugged all the time driving a cab. So actually being on the street seems actually a little more safe, honestly.
If somebody wanted to learn the ukulele or the kazoo, what advice would you give them? How do you start learning?
Okay, so this is what I did. When I was a little kid, I'm ADHD, right? So, and I'm hyper and nuts and all of that stuff. So I wanted to learn guitar. I took guitar lessons. I took piano lessons. I took trumpet for a couple of days. My dad said, "Yeah, you can learn to play the trumpet." 2 days later, "No, you can't." Give it to me. but it was like I was mistaken. He just couldn't stand it. But I was not the kind of little kid that could sit in a room and practice my instrument, right? I really wanted to play. And I sang because I was a Catholic kid and Irish. So singing was required, and I learned music theory, but somewhere between, to me, I was just mystified by musicians. I thought, how do they do that? It's like magic, And I just never, here's how they do it. They practice. They do it wrong over and over and over again until it starts to get a little bit better, and then it gets better and better and better because they practice. It's not talent, it's practice. When people say, "Oh, I wish I had your talent," it's not a compliment to most musicians, because most musicians started out, no musician picked up the instrument and went, "I'm awesome on this." They all sat in a room and did the boring work of practicing. So this is what's great about the ukulele. is that I said, hey, you know, I spent all this time in my taxi cab, and I had gone through all these audio books. I read a bunch of books in between fares and things like that. And because you spend a lot of time as a cab driver waiting on fares or just waiting on people or waiting at red lights. And so I thought, man, I'm going to get a guitar and then practice guitar while I'm sitting here doing nothing. And then I realized the guitar won't fit in the cab, right? I'd have to stick the neck out the window. So I went ahead and just got a ukulele. And I played that thing. I can't believe I just picked it up, practiced for 30 seconds at a red light, put it back down, drive cab. And so what I did is I ended up playing the ukulele all day, every day for a couple of years, right? And by the time I couldn't drive cab anymore, I knew like 20 songs. And I started just going out on the sidewalk and playing those 20 songs over and over again, you know? So it seemed like better than panhandling, or, you know, and... So, and then, I started building up a repertoire. So now I play over 100 songs, you know, from this era. And sometimes I even do request. A bunch of girls came up to me last year and said, do you know anything from the Dean Martin Christmas album? And I was like, oh, yes, I do, you know, and played Marshmallow World. And, they were like, you are a genius. How did we do, you know, they come, you know, it's like, so it's made me seem like a genius, which is one of my favorite things to seem like.
Not bad at all. How has the pandemic affected what you do and affected your life in general?
So first thing it did was gave me COVID. So last year at the Arnold convention, at the Arnold Sports Convention here, so they canceled the public tickets, but all of the athletes from all over the world, including Italy, remember them? and the Ukraine and Czechoslovakia, and there were a couple of so there were athletes from all over the world here, and they love, you know, I'll tell you the thing about Europeans is that they love buskers, so they tipped them, and that was they were all very excited to see a busker in Columbus, Ohio, and then the next week I was like, oh, I'm sick, you know. So I went home and I stayed home for like, you know, a couple months actually. So I was like good and sick for a month, but it seemed like almost like pneumonia, except for I had a dry cough. So I've had pneumonia before, but this was like pneumonia with a dry cough. And then, and so I stayed in bed for a month. I didn't feel right for the next month, and we were on lockdown. So I probably stayed 3 months, and I just stayed inside. And friends of mine brought me food, and I live with my son, and so he took care of me, honestly, you know, and still does, kinda. So yeah, so that's how it affected me. And then I came out, I started coming out again and working again in April. So I used to work every night at the corner of Vine and High, and it's just not worth it to go out there anymore, except for I went out last night and I had a pretty good night. So I worked like 3 hours and I made $30. So that's okay. It's not okay for a Friday, but if, you know, if I could do, you know, so I'm going to start going out, doing my old routine.
Well, we do want to let people know, again, it's Bobby Ray, the Kazoo Man, kazooman.com. If people want to see you and they're in the Columbus area, most likely, where can they find you?
Well, I'm at the North Market every Saturday and Sunday afternoon. And then I'm at the corner of Vine and High, across from the convention center, in front of Mikey's Late Night Slice, who... I should mention, because they're one of the businesses that when Mikey moved into that corner, you know, I'll tell you what, that corner was an abandoned, boarded up warehouse. Even when the Yankee Trader, they didn't even use it as retail space. They were using it as storage. And Mikey went in, fixed the whole thing up. When he took the boards off the windows, we didn't realize that was a beautiful, like, early 20th century corner storefront that he completely restored. And the first day I saw him on the site when they were doing construction, he came out and said hi to me. I'm like, welcome to the neighborhood. He goes, thanks, man. I said, I hope you don't have a problem. Or you plan on piping music out here? He goes, nope. He goes, we plan on having you here. And you know, the guy has just been a prince to me ever since, like more than and so have all these guys, the guys at Preston Burgers, the guys at Serafino's, and the American Nut Company, They were there. All of these merchants in here too. So after you get used to me, and this is the other thing about my web presence, and this too, is that I'm not sure if it makes more money for me, but it. But this is the thing: if you see me online and then you see me on the street, then you know, oh, I know that guy. He's not dangerous, right?
That's right.
You know, so I frequently get tips from people who have seen me before. So when they first see me, they're not sure. They walk by. Oh, that's interesting. And then after they get used to me, they'll drop me a buck or two. So.
Well, again, and we're chatting here with Bobby Ray, the Kazoo Man, and we're going to have one more song, a happy song to take us out of this interview. But before we go to the final happy song, how would you like people to think of you, remember you, as you say you remembered that gentleman so many years ago who was down here? How would you like to be remembered?
Yeah, I'd love to be remembered like as the goofy clown guy, busker on the street who always had happy songs and always had something nice to say, you know? So, yeah, that's out definitely how I would like to be remembered. So
here comes Bobby Ray, the Kazoo Man.
Crazy people, crazy people, crazy people like me go crazy over people like you. Goofy people, daffy people like me go crazy over things you do. When we are under the moon of all, you got me acting just like a loony. It must be love, sweet. Of the heart that keeps folks from drifting apart. Now that's the reason, maybe, that I call you baby. We're each other stand apart. Crazy people, crazy people, crazy people, crazy people, crazy people like me go crazy over people like you. Goofy people, daffy people, daffy people, daffy people like me go crazy over things you do.
Forget National Kazoo Day is January the 28th, and Bobby Ray, the Kazoo Man, kazooman.com, is down here in Columbus, Ohio, at the North Market most every weekend. This is Scott Spears from Columbus, Ohio, WWGH Radio, for this night, a little chilly, with Bobby Ray, the Kazoo Man, having a whole lot of fun heading for the dugout. Hey, Scott Spears back in studio here, 59 and a half minutes past the hour. We've got a whole another hour coming up. We're going to come back and talk about National Kazoo Day, talk about Bobby Ray, the Kazoo Man you just heard, and a whole lot of other stuff. I'll tell you, if you woke up in a bad mood this morning or you were not energized after that interview, I hope you are. And I'm going to tell you some behind-the-scenes things about that, and we'll talk on the toll-free line after this short but important break.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM